You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora koutou, it's 11 on Sunday. You're listening to Art Bank.
Good morning.
Kia ora everybody, it's Rachel and Theo in today. Hope you're all having a lovely morning out there. Thank you to Angus for the last couple of hours. Sunday best.
Yeah, Sunday best, an institution.
And we have got Remco Dublar in here this morning. He is from Artspace, the new director. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's great to have you up. And we're going to be talking about Most Things Happen When I'm Asleep, which is the show that's currently on for one more week at Artspace. And that has got a really amazing collection of different art spaces from around the world that have come together in the space. And you've been sharing an Instagram account, so we might talk about that too.
It's sort of a truly kind of comprehensive exhibition. Like, it's very dense with information, and I feel like every time I've gone to it, I sort of just have to follow a different track, and I never end up sort of crossing over. Mm. I mean, as a way to start, I'd be curious, if someone is coming into the space for the first time, how would you suggest they engage with this wealth of material?
Just to dive into it, no? I mean, it's a pretty heavy reading show, actually, kind of funnily enough. But it was also a bit to tease, no? Not to have only kind of the visual element there completely. Just to dive into it. I mean, I think it's really about not understanding everything, basically. Mm-hmm. Just to start somewhere and just, you know, suck it up, basically. So, and in a sense, I mean, that's how it also would function with normally with art, no? If you want to see something, then and you don't get it, or it's kind of, what is this about? And it's a kind of, yeah, it's really trying to say, okay, just start somewhere, basically, right?
So some of the galleries that are involved, there's La Agencia, which is from Colombia, Better Local, which is from San Juan in Puerto Rico, Alice Yard, which is in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, Teoretica, there we go, in San Jose in Costa Rica, and the Semeti Institute, which is in Indonesia. So it's quite an amazing breadth of the world, really, that's covered in this exhibition. So I guess diving in is really the only way you can tackle something as broad as this.
Yeah. I mean, it's also kind of, I think a lot of people would be probably unfamiliar with these spaces and places as well, but it was also kind of an attempt to get this kind of geography of the Caribbean and Central America also to New Zealand, because I also saw kind of quite a lot of links. For example, if you look at Better Locale, they had just last year an enormous emergency. There was a hurricane Maria there in last September, and that really kind of completely shifted the way how artists were thinking, how Better Locale was also as an institute was going about their stuff, right? So, and I saw links, I mean, the weather, for example, just take the idea of the weather. Mm. I saw that as a sort of link between Better Locale and Puerto Rico and New Zealand and art space. So, and just another kind of thing to say, that it is about the sort of the places, the geography. It's places that I've been mostly traveling to in the last couple of years. So I had I talked with these people and was inspired by what they were doing. So it was really about kind of how to share a bit of that knowledge back into New Zealand, because I thought it could be relevant. No, I mean, that's for other people also to decide if it's relevant, but I think it is. So yeah,
it does feel like it really foregrounds the process and the kind of, I guess, the role of institutions in mediating between a public and an artist or an art project and practice. And I think it's really interesting, because often when you get these kind of residential exchanges between institutions, you maybe see quite a minimal expression of that resident of that institution's identity. Mm-hmm. But I quite like that it does feel like each group involved, you feel, oh yes, they are very much a real, tangible organization with a lot of people involved and a lot of labour.
I think that's what I really liked about the Instagram collaboration that you guys have been doing, is it makes it really personal, and it's a really easy way for people to access those communities of these other art spaces. So for people who haven't seen it, on the Artspace Instagram, it's been sort of shared between these different places at these different galleries, and for a week each, is that correct?
Yeah.
And they've all each posted from their areas about their projects and their artists and their communities. And I found it really interesting, because it is a little bit that amazing thing that the internet and particularly social media can do is really put you in other people's lives. Was that something that you were thinking about when you thought about that collaboration?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, just before I came here, there was an amazing show here. And I can say it in that way because I wasn't the director there at the time. So it was Dirt Futures. That was just before I arrived. That was on. Fantastic show. And what they did there, you know, you can see that my English is not my language. So, what they did there was doing an Instagram residency with Coco Solid and friends, and I was kind of really quite amazing. That really breaked a bit sort of what ArtSpace was doing on the Instagram, really only making sort of getting information about your activities across social media, right? But it really kind of flipped. It made that kind of Coco's work came into ArtSpace, and it was a kind of whole different way of thinking of what kind of in this case Instagram could be, right? Which could be a space in itself.
Yeah.
And it really functioned like that, and it was super simple. It was like they were kind of making coffee, doing recordings, all the kind of, and you got a really kind of a snippet in what was happening sort of in their work, right? And it was relevant for that show. So then for this show, we were really thinking of how to get a bit better across what is happening in those spaces and also have it a bit more active, right? So then we thought we sort of call it Instagram residencies, and then what we did, we gave every week a different space would get we would give the password to them, and they would totally take over our Instagram account, right? We were not allowed to do any kind of
mediation
or anything like that, but that was important, and then that was great. So it really kind of tapped into the lives there, right? So for example, Teoretica in Costa Rica, they did, and I think obviously you can still see it, but they did this kind of amazing, so they walked with the whole team, the five of them, they walked through central Costa Rica to show sort of, okay, this is where our place is, right? And this is how our streets look like, and this is, so it's kind of really simple stuff, but really effective, I think. Really, it's sort of,
I think that's what I really enjoyed about it, is it gives you a real sense of the place that these other works and these other people are coming from. It's like going into the supermarket in a new country, and it's just so simple. It's the supermarket, but it's amazing because it's completely different to what you're used to. And I really liked with that walk that you're talking about, I really enjoyed those videos because I was like, oh, this is someone's neighborhood. This is just a block around, this is like our equivalent of Karanghape Road around ArtSpace. You know, it's really nice to see that part of those art worlds, you know.
Yeah. And then another thing also kind of they also had to force themselves, because many of them normally communicate in Spanish, so they also had to force themselves, for example, to translate things that they were working on in English, right? Or also kind of for Spanish to remain there and for us to
force ourselves to
have a bit of a kind of look at a different language, right? So and I think that was also kind of really, really helpful for me, at least. I mean, it's also something that for us was also really good to do, right? It's kind of really we got to know more about them in very detailed approach, right? So
So when you were putting together this show, and obviously you're saying geography came into it, this idea of these different places you've visited, but also this sort of spaces of the world that share similarities. But how did the sort of, because there's quite a lot of politics that come through as shared veins of interest, and then also quite disparate. How did that sort of come out of it? Was that one of the primary things you thought about going into it, or did it more naturally come out of the collaborations?
No, I was interested in it, of course. I mean, this is also probably the reason why I visited these places, because of the interest in how they organize themselves, right? How they organize themselves as artists, as curators, as kind of, there's people that are not even artists that are involved in these collectives. So one, I was definitely interested in the collective, but also how they were kind of solving problems, really, in a kind of very imaginative and creative way. And I was really sort of affected and inspired by how they were going about their job. So and within that, I think you could identify really kind of clear politics, right? I mean, now if you look at Puerto Rico, for example. I mean, that's kind of super obvious, right? A very a colony that is sort of half a colony still has a very difficult relationship to the United States. How does it then work with how are you an artist in that kind of situation? No? Yeah. And it goes from funding to how your work is being viewed on the mainland, for example, how you constantly have been tackling kind of decolonizing issues, and so that's one example. So yeah, I was definitely interested in sort of the political merit of all these places. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think maybe we'll jump into a track now.
We've got Gold Series by Double Double pulled up. Is that Double Double?
Double Double. That's Double one. Double. And then we'll be back talking to Remco in just a few minutes. You're listening to Art Bank on 95BFM.
Like Grande, no chill. Stone cold punchlines, biblical. Colder than when Cain stoned Abel. I see me in gold, leaf like my idol. Around my temple, rosemary and cilantro. Rap like Paquetta, slow cooked and mindful. Yeah, food bars are vital for my mental. I'm losing it. I can hear you in the back. The voices in my head, ad-libs on my backing track. Ooh, got content like a booster pack. Nothing but double ups and repacks. Goddamn, I'm feeling cabin feverish. Boils on my neck like a barber's itch. I guess I'm blurred cause I'm Jesusless. I'm getting pretty envious of Jesus' wrist. I'm chilling in this bad land. Smooth body made of coke cans and broke vans. Heading down the bed for my phone with both hands. Got a gun and limited broadband. Every second thought to suicide. Midnight is when the slowly grow romanticized. They start to spread and multiply. I don't wanna die. Every second thought's a suicide. Midnight is when they slowly grow romanticized. They start to spread and multiply. I don't wanna die yet. I see me in bed, dead, not just my eyes closed. I'm okay, undercover sparkle. I'm okay, all bet tomorrow. Okay, okay. I see me going on, and I do. Slow motion for me ever since a juvenile. Get it? I feel like I'm living in denial. At least the title of my tombstone will tell all. I was meant to be Tyrone, but he overdosed. Light skin with a light name and white clothes. Seems to walk in racist jokes. Oversharing, now they're lapping up my overflow. Can you hear me in the back? You wear your privilege like a backpack. Tight straps, acting like it's feedback. Like I need that. Sounding like my foldback's feedback. I've been chilling in these badlands. Smooth body made of coke cans and broke vans. Sponsor me. Adding down my bed for my phone with both hands. And got a gun and limited broadband. Every second thought to suicide. Midnight is when the slowly grow romanticized. They start to spread and multiply. I don't wanna die. Every second thought's a suicide. Midnight is when they slowly grow romanticized. They start to spread and multiply. I don't wanna die yet.
All the noises.
That was terrible, terrible desk work.
You could have just pretended it was like a conceptual sting we've made or something, but you are listening to Art Bank, as we almost got through that sting there.
You're listening to Art Bank.
There we go, there we go. And we've got Remco from Artspace here speaking to us about the show that is currently on, Most Things Happen When I'm Asleep. But also, it's your first show that you've curated as the new director. Maybe you could speak to us a bit about your role there. What does the director of Artspace do, and how have you been finding it?
Well, it's supposedly be the boss, right? but I'm not really kind of good at that, actually. But like really having this kind of authoritative, I don't like that. I think that's a problem. But it's supposedly that. So yeah. So what does the director do? Yeah. I think it's been in art space. It's been sort of quite a particular job that a lot of people would think of that it relates a lot, right? So there's kind of incoming people from outside that come in every couple of years and then give sort of fresh ideas to the scene here, as if the scene here needs that, right? and so that's kind of I'm actually thinking a lot about sort of what does that actually mean. No, it's kind of because I think that has many problems, actually. Mm. Because it follows a bit of a sort of 90s curatorial model where it's believed that a person, mostly these are men, that would come in and then they would drop their IDs on it and then everybody feeds on it and then you go away, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I have a bit of a problem with that myself, because I would love to think a bit more sort of a longer term kind of a relationship with people. So I mean, obviously this show is a part of that comes from relationships that I have with them already for a long time. But I think I feel that becomes more and more important, actually, rather than kind of just dumping your ideas that are really connected to an individual or to a curator, you know. But how do you actually shape ideas a bit more longer term, which I think is a bit more difficult, no? I'm quite interested in that, actually, more and more. So that's something that we're trying to think about a lot.
And so when you came from Glasgow, is that the last place that you were working? Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was there for 5 years working as a curator for the CCA, Centre for Contemporary Art. There was amazing. In many ways, very similar to New Zealand, although New Zealand has a bit better weather.
I'm glad to hear that.
But and beaches that you can go to. But no, in many ways, very similar. A very active community of incredible artists, actually, that are not always recognized for what they do, are really have to fight towards kind of London in many ways. Mm. And I feel sort of, if we talk about isolation, which is something of a word that I hear a lot connected to New Zealand, is sort of very is similar, right? So there's a similar perception that there's sort of a disconnect. But I always like to, I always feel quite comfortable in these peripheries, if you will, because I think that like the work that is produced there is much more, for me, has a sort of relevancy and has a sort of urgency for what's going on in that place, right?
Because you can't afford to make lazy art. You have to be for your community. You have to be thinking about your people all the time. And I think that produces it's got its own problems, because you shouldn't have to be fighting to survive as art communities and as artists necessarily. But the silver lining to that is it does really make you value what it is about communities and art places that is important. It gets to the heart of things, I think, in some ways as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, also when I was in Scotland, it was very difficult and challenging and interesting political moment as well. So as you might know, there was an independence referendum there, and then on top of that later, there was the Brexit. So these were like very significant. I mean, even if you go outside of the art thinking, I mean, very significant moments in everybody's lives that everybody, I mean, and including artists and had to deal with, no? And I think particularly artists and were able to sort of challenge or give other views, other ideas on what that was doing with their lives, no? So I'm interested in that. So that was so interesting from Scotland, yeah.
I think there's something interesting in what you're talking about with the idea of there's an urgency in the work being made in these isolated peripheral communities, but I think there's also an urgency in connecting peripheral communities. It feels like in New Zealand you write letters to people in Glasgow and you write letters to people in Seoul just to try and kind of form these connections.
Mm.
And it feels like the show you've put together is kind of building on that urgency.
Yeah, it really tries to make links between those places, right? And not only, okay, let's link these kind of sort of exotic places, but really sort of what are the similarities in these kind of places? And so, for example, the weather, I mean, that's kind of interesting from a sort of pragmatic, but also from a theoretical point of view, actually. So, because if you have something that is of similar concern, you have a language that you can start talking about, no? Mm. And of course, it might end up completely different somewhere else, right? In the end, maybe we don't talk about the weather or about the hurricane, but it gives you sort of, it gives you a base to start talking.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah, it totally does. And we're talking a little bit off mic. Some of your research interests are around Dutch colonialism. Is this correct?
Yeah. I did a couple of years ago. I did a 2-year-long research in Suriname, which is a former colony of the Netherlands in South America, the smallest country in South America, actually. And that was very fascinating. That sort of really opened my eyes to what was actually going on in the Netherlands as a society as well. There's a very kind of ignorance on what has happened. It goes from sort of black peat, which is this horrible figure that was introduced, and that is a sort of slave that is connected to the Santa Claus figure, right?
Right.
And it's believed to be very, very innocent story, but it is not. It's not innocent, right? So, and that is a very difficult thing to discuss in Dutch society. Very aggressive, actually. When I was working in the Netherlands as a curator for a museum there, we did a project of two Swedish artists that were trying to challenge that tradition, and it was a project called Tradition Is Not Given. And they were actually threatened by life.
Wow.
So we actually had to cancel a performance that we planned to do. But just to see the sheer kind of violence within that really is amazing. So I'm interested in that, obviously, because it's a position that the country that I come from was very much involved in. Actually, I'm from the old Zealand, right? That's where I come from.
Yeah.
So I actually have a sort of personal relationship to that as well, where I come from, the geography that actually much of that was instigated from, right? So I feel I have to relate to that. I don't know in which way. I don't feel that is sort of, I think, me I'm trying to do that through the work that we do, no?
Yeah.
So that's a bit of the I'm trying to figure it out through the work, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because obviously in New Zealand we are still in a very colonial setting at the moment where our treaty is not ratified in many senses. Well, it's ratified, but it's not acknowledged in a lot of public senses. We still have so much inequality, and I think that really we've always been in these tense times for discussing our colonial context, but right now there are so many moments for this to come right to the front of the conversation in a very mainstream way that's been quite neglected over the last 10, 15 years. And I think art is doing there's a really big move in the art community here to be directly confronting that in a way that has always happened, but now is sort of managing to get this mainstream spotlight for better or for worse.
It feels like what Coco Fusco was kind of talking about in 1995 is now what, like, you know, the NZ Herald is talking about, and that's really crazy.
Yeah, it is really crazy. But I think it's interesting as well because in a different sense, but Scotland as well, they have their own colonial context and talking about their independence referendum and things like that. All of these situations are coming about. It's this weird sort of time. And as you're saying, artists, you know, the role of artists and art spaces and curators and these communities is to really present an alternative to what is the established mainstream potentially. And I think that this show is really interesting in that way that you connect all these different spaces from with their very disparate conversations, but bring them together on their shared politics is very interesting. And there's been lots of really great ways that our communities have been doing that. But it's nice to see new spaces that we don't necessarily have conversations with coming into that picture a bit more as well.
Yeah, and I think actually much of it is really surprisingly simple, actually, as a start of a conversation. If you see how Bata Lokal, I think what was interesting there is that they said to me, like I said, how are you now going to, I mean, this obvious question, how are you now going to deal after the hurricane, right? Is it, it's because it's going to be a mess, it's an emergency, what is happening there? And then actually what they said was quite interesting. They said, actually, we've been preparing for this moment already for the whole time, no? Mm-hmm. Already for however long we've existed. So for us, this idea of this state of emergency happens every day, mm-hmm. no? And then when it comes, so when hurricane came, it wasn't for them, that wasn't the emergency. The emergency was already happening in all of those days prior to it and right. after it, no? So yeah. Actually, then what happened was only kind of the folding of those kind of those exercises, no? And mm. then, so it's interesting to look at that moment of what's happening in that emergency. So they were constantly trying to rehearse what would come. And then I think then it's interesting to see what they've done prior to that, no? And constantly challenging, actually. But wait a minute, guys, we don't have the things that you have in the mainland US, yeah. right? Or we don't have the same rights. We don't have the privileges that you have. So that's what's constantly discussed. The emergency then shows that, like, completely yeah. in a hard way, of course. Yeah. But they already know, right? And then the only thing that hurricane did was it was giving more visibility towards that, right?
Bring it to a breaking
so
point.
So then you see actually also that they are already far advanced. They are already kind of much more advanced in thinking what that might be, right? So for me, I mean, yesterday I talked also about, we had a workshop with Chimeti, and we talked a bit about, like, what is the future about and what are our alternative future. I'm really quite a big fan of Damon Saliza's book, Island Futures, where he says actually the future, if we look at the future of Pacific Islanders, which is a term that, of course, the historical term that he also uses, is already there. And I think that concept is amazingly powerful. No, that the future is already yeah. is already here. There is something that already here is that we have to have another look at. It's not that we need to wait for something to happen or re-understand something that will come. But and I feel that some of these institutes and the artists that are involved in them have really kind of invested in that already for a long time. So that's also really to advocate to think in such a position as well.
Mm, totally. Well, I think we might jump into another track now. What have we got lined up there, Theo?
We've got Twitch by Miss June.
Nice.
Coming to the Power Station, August 29th, 95 BFM presents Courtney Barnett.
You said we should look out further. I guess it wouldn't hurt us. We don't have to be around all these coffee shops. Now we got that percolator. Never made a latte greater. I'm saving $23 a week. We drive to a house in Preston. We see police arresting a man with his hand in a bag. How's that for first impressions? This place seems depressing. It's a Californian bungalow in a cul-de-sac. It's got a lovely garden, a garage for two cars to park in, or a lot of room for storage if you've just got one. Going pretty cheap, you say. Well, it's a deceased estate. Aren't the pressed metal ceilings great? Then I see the handrail in the shower, a collection of those canisters for coffee, tea and flour, and a photo of a young man in a van in Vietnam. Think of floorboards anymore, whether the front room faces south or north, and I wonder what she bought it for.
Former iKit and 60s soul superstar P.P. Arnold is headed to New Zealand for the first time.
God is the deepest
With hits like First Cut Is the Deepest, If You Think You're Groovy, and work with everyone from The Small Faces and Roger Waters to Primal Scream and Paul Weller, P.P. Arnold is British rock, pop and mod royalty. 95BFM presents P.P. Arnold with backing from members of UMI this Sunday at the Power Station. Tickets from davidroywilliams.com and AAA Ticketing.
The Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival is showing now until May 20th at Rialto Cinemas in Newmarket. A great chance to be inspired by incredible modern architecture and the finest design from Palm Springs to New York, Berlin to Brazil. Student pricing applies. The Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival, showing now until May 20th. Tickets on sale in cinema or at rialto.co.nz.
Come on now, partner. Soothe an old man's soul with some of that good old down homey music.
Well, I ain't no Gene Autry, but... wake me up inside, now wake up, wake me up.
God, blood, son, cease! Damn it, Pappy. Never stray from Border Radio, you know that.
Border Radio, with your alternating hosts, Bernie Griffin and Deputy Paul.
Now, baby, please don't go back to New Orleans, you know I love you so.
She's a devil.
Border Radio, just authentic American country and blues. 7 to 9 p.m. tonight, only on 95BFM.
You're listening to Art Bank.
Yes, you are. And we've got a prize today, which is exciting. We've got two tickets to Upgrade, which is a screening on Tuesday, May 29th at the Hollywood Cinema. It's a preview. If you'd like them, you can text. And now this is your last day that you can get a prize without a B card on BFM. So if you haven't signed up to a B card, you should do that now. It's how you can support your favourite local radio station. And it's for $4.20 a month, $9.50 a month, or $100 if you're feeling really lush. And it's like, it's just like shouting us a beer or a coffee. Keeps us on air. It gets you in the prize draw for various awesome gigs and giveaways that we've got. And it gets you some sweet discounts at a few places around Auckland. So head along to the BFM website to sign up to that one. But if you want the tickets, text us now and we will take the first text. 5395 is the text number if you would like to go and see Upgrade on Tuesday, May 29th at the Hollywood Cinema. So while we're waiting for your text to come flooding in, we will say thank you to Remco for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me. Kia ora.
No, it's been awesome. And so what is happening in the next couple of weeks at Artspace? Because there's one more week of Most Things Happen When I'm Asleep. Have you got any programs lined up?
That's coming to an end. So we had a workshop yesterday actually. So that's coming to an end, and then after that, there's going to be an amazing show curated by Bridget Rigirkudi, and that is Susan Tukahurangi King.
Cool.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's opening up on the 1st of June actually. So
awesome.
Please come.
We will. Well, it's been great to talk to you, and welcome. You've been here for 8 months, but welcome.
Yep.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we might jump into a track right now. This is part of the NZ On Air Music Month. This is Millie Tabak. This was live on BFM Breakfast. The track is called Carlos.
Okay, guys, set right up and we'll have a sound check.
We've actually bought our own engineer. Thanks anyway.
I'd quite like to remind you that this is going live to air.
We've got a certain sound.
New Zealand music, live to airs on 95 BFM.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air Music.
One and too many hours have passed where the stillness shatters that glass. All I want to do is hold on to the shards in my work better than a gun, and I don't know how to walk away from that wall. Yeah. but I'm listening to you. Sweet songs, well, all I wanna do is hear them play, but nobody plays it how it was in those days, and I don't know how to take quiet steps, and I don't know how it will pay. But I'm remembering it for what it was. Carlos, oh my Carlos, oh my
here live.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air Music.
And thank you again to Remco from Artspace for coming up and chatting to us today. Most Things Happen When I'm Asleep is on for the rest of the week, and then Artspace will be getting ready for their next big show, which will be really exciting.
Yeah, it's a great program. Definitely head along this week.
I know, it's really cool. And check out the Instagram as well, and you can see the sort of local communities and the spaces around these different art groups that have been involved in this exhibition. So it's been a very cool show, and we're looking forward to the next thing that Artspace brings up.
Should we do a rapid fire Day gig guide?
Mother's Day gig guide. I'm not sure if it's particularly geared to Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there, and all the, you know, stand-in mums as well. So on May the 17th, Daniel John Corbett Sanders is on site and Ana Iti is online at Window Gallery. That's opening this week, and it's going to be a very good show. Both of those are really fantastic artists. We've also got May the 20th, Tactile Histories, a fabric collage workshop out in Pakuranga, and that's hosted by Satellites, and it's Rosanna Lee is making those, and she's a really awesome artist as well, and that will be very cool project to get behind. Last night at Tatui Gallery, Danica Jensen's exhibition 90 Days Plus opened, so that one is one you should go catch a couple of buses out there, or get your flatmate to give you a lift if you're like me and don't have a car.
The flatmate lift system, supporting Auckland art.
Exactly.
For decades.
Exactly. And another cool exhibition that Tatui's got is Acts of Passage, which is opening this week, May 17th. And that's in Silo Park in the Wynyard Quarter. And there's a really, really exciting lineup of artists. There's Albert Ashton, Faf Swag, Arison Herelico, Kitso Leden Heron, Antonio Porsa, and Rosanna Raymond, which is like blockbuster cast of cool artists there. So definitely go and check that one out.
Also, Oscar Enberg's show at Hopkins and Bosman has come to a close, and on Friday the 18th of May, Philip Lai and Peter Robinson opens at Hopkins and Bosman, so that'll be one to check out too.
And the last thing we've got for this week is that Gabrielle Amodeo and Stephen Ellis is opening at Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Gallery on the 19th, so that's a double whammy. Go and check that one out.
It's going to be a busy week.
Jazz Show is up next. Thank you all for listening. It's been a fun show today, and we will be back next week, same time, same place, with some more art and some more music and some more just general reckons about
nonsense
the world.
Nonsense and just faffing about and that sort of stuff.
Go have a nice Mother's Day. Treat your mums, treat your grandmas, and we'll see you next week. Matua.
That was Art Bank, Mā Te Wā.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.